This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:37. It's Tuesday, the 8th of June. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning with Philip C. Last week, US President Joe Biden signed an executive order banning 59 Chinese companies with ties to China's military or were in the surveillance industry. So according to the president's aides, the decision reflects a new American commitment not to facilitate Chinese repression and human rights abuses. The additional companies are subsidiaries and affiliates of major businesses that were already on a blacklist first initiated by former President Trump.
Notable mentions include China's largest chipmaker, Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corporation, or SMIC short, Huawei Technologies, and three of the country's biggest telco companies. The ban, which prevents American companies from investing in those companies, will go into effect on 2nd of August in New York. Americans invested in these firms will have 1 year to divest before sanctions begin. So how will China take this hardline policy in the already fragile relations they have with the US?
So to help us answer that pertinent question this morning is Brock Silvers, Chief Investment Officer at Kaiyuan Capital. Glad to have you back on the show, Brock. Now, what do you make of President Biden's executive order restrictions and the signal that he's sending to China?
Hey, good morning. Look, I don't really know that Joe Biden cares as much about the China issue as Trump did, but I also think he's politically hamstrung. His son's financial ties, I think, make soft ties to Beijing make softness a little bit difficult. And more generally, being tough on China is one of the few ideas with real bipartisan support in Washington. So I think the Biden administration has no real choice but to follow along. And unfortunately, I think we can expect more of the same as we run into the U.S. midterms coming up next year.
So a continuation of Trump's policies then under the Biden administration, where do you see China in terms of their retaliation? How will they respond to this latest restrictions?
You know, China will almost certainly retaliate, and I think everyone should be aware of that. But it won't just be for this. The overall relationship, I think, is heading in that direction. As the U.S. kind of blames China more and more for COVID, there's a growing call to boycott the Beijing Olympics next year. There will be more delistings from SEC audit paper demands. The relationship is rocky, and China is going to retaliate in some way. And I think moves against U.S. companies reliant on China are probably quite likely.
But Brock, what kind of specific measures do you think China will take? Because so far, if I look at the headlines, they've actually been quite silent on this.
Well, they have been, and I think they're waiting to see what the U.S. moves will entail. But look, for most companies reliant on China, it's a production or supply chain issue, and those companies have already begun making alternative plans. Supply chain relocation takes a long time, but it is happening. Now, there's a smaller group of companies, like, for example, Apple, that I think are still highly reliant on China for revenue and profit. Those companies are more exposed, and they may be in for some tougher reactions and tougher times.
And let's just talk about a bigger theme, because everybody is now talking about semiconductors and chips. And the inclusion of SMIC, Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corp, on the list spells the end for China to boost its domestic chip sector. So what do you think the options are moving forward?
Well, it's a knotty issue for sure. Look, similarly to Apple, SMIC is in trouble. And much of what it does or develops, I think, is reliant upon U.S. IP in some way. But that doesn't mean that China will simply give up on the sector. There's already been a buildup of inventory in preparation for sort of a break with the U.S. And we can expect continued major investment, probably some continued misappropriation of third-party IP. If things go worse between China and the U.S., I think the Chinese chip sector would be left scrambling for a couple of years, but that doesn't mean it would simply go out of business.
Now, one of the three Chinese telcos on the list is China Mobile, which has been, of course, supporting iPhones in China since 2014. And it's a market that's crucial to Apple's growth. So how will American companies tied to Chinese companies on the blacklist deal with this decision?
Those that can more easily prepare themselves by moving supply chain or production locations, I think will do so, and many have been. But some, as you mentioned, like Apple, it's just a crucial market, and it's going to be difficult if sort of bilateral relations take that market away from them in some significant degree. And I think some of those companies are just going to have to deal with that.
Now, we do know that, there's been a deadline given of a divestment within a 1 year, and then after that, sanctions begin. Do you actually see that happening? And what will the impact of the sanctions be?
I do see it happening. It will be tough to climb down from that position, especially in an election year. So I think that a walk back was perhaps unlikely. But I think what really has to happen is that China will probably end up having to improve the way it plays the global game. And that sounds great. I think that China would like to have better relations with the U.S. And the rest of the developed world. But I also don't think we're quite there yet. And unfortunately, we may have to go through a tough period of economic squabbling before we can sort of get to that ultimate goal.
And, I just want to build on the point you said earlier on that, companies might think about the supply chain very differently. Who do you think are the beneficiaries here if people decide that they cannot rely on China for supply chain? Will Southeast Asia and Malaysia become beneficiaries of that shift?
Yeah, they certainly will. Southeast Asia, it's always a good idea to produce and source close to your markets. And that's good news for Southeast Asia in particular. I think there will be some beneficiaries, but it's also a sort of slow process. It's generally not something that happens overnight.
Is that why the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, TSMC, has begun construction work on a $12 billion US dollar factory in Arizona, the first in two decades?
Yeah, sure. Look, on the surface, it seems like a very smart move. The U.S. is the largest consumer of advanced chips. TSMC wants to remain a top supplier, and producing near your consumer is a good idea, especially, I think, in today's environment. Chips are extremely sensitive, and this gives TSMC's number one customer a significant measure of security. Now, if they were doing this production in China, they might save a few dollars, but the U.S. would probably also be looking for alternative sources.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Brock Silvers, Chief Investment Officer at Cayenne Capital. Basically, the trade war has moved into the tech, telco, chip space, right? And
yes.
I think it's every country for himself. And it seems like everyone's looking at diversifying their chip sources in a way. It used to be China. Now you need factories in America. And maybe even us, we might benefit in Southeast Asia.
I think we'll get some spillover. And that's, I think, reflected in the manufacturing industry here. But Xiaoning, you make the very interesting point that, this list of blacklists is ever expanding. To the point is, this list could be eternal. Right?
Yeah.
Because
then you just add names constantly.
You just be the whole country systemically that you apply. And this is where the debate is, which is how will China respond? And we see two different postures, right? One is this wolf warrior, where you're very aggressive stance. But recently, President Xi has also come out to say we need to be friendlier with our friends. So I wonder
are they friends though?
Friendlier with
friendlier.
Friend.
Ooh, yeah. Depends on whether you define US as a friend, right?
I guess professional then.
But Biden is put in a bit of a corner, right? Because this is one issue. This US-China relations is one issue that has got strong bipartisan support. And he needs to be seen as the strong man. Especially, midterm elections are coming up very soon, actually.
It's easy one to do, I think, for him. He does that. And I think maybe the difference between the Trump administration is he's applying multilateralism heft. So he's getting all the other coalition parties to put pressure. And I think this is where China also has to decide how will they respond accordingly.
And this is one thing we'll be watching very closely. But up next, the local fishing industry with Dr. Loh Jun Yen, an advisor with the Marine Fish Farmer Association of Malaysia. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.